Welcome to Dare to Share, the podcast that explores the fascinating world of open education and the impact of open educational practices on our universities. I'm your host. My name is Mace Fatayo from University of Technology Sydney. And today we are diving into the captivating story of Creative Commons. So the story of Creative Commons begins with the concept of copyright. This is very interesting, but bear with me. An area of law that governs how products of human creativity, such as books, research, articles, music, you name it, are used. Copyright grants exclusive rights to creators, allowing them to control the copying and adaptation of their work for a limited time. Let's put that in simpler web terms. It regulates who can copy and share creative works. With the advent of internet, we gained unlimited access, sharing, and also collaboration for creative works, which is usually covered by copyrights. However, sharing capabilities made possible by digital technologies has actually clashed with the sharing restriction imposed by copyright laws worldwide. This is when the story of Creative Commons begins. Creative Commons is an organization created to address the tension between creators' ability to share digital works globally and copyright regulation. Creative Commons journey takes us back to the United States in 1998. And let me get that right to you, when Sonny Bono Copyright Term Extension Act, CTEA, was enacted. Now, this law extended the term of copyright for all works, even those already copyrighted, by an additional 20 years. In other words, it prolonged copyright protection to match the life of the creator plus 70 years. A notable advocate against this law was Lawrence Lessig, a Stanford law professor, who believed it is to actually be unconstitutional. Lessig understood the significance of copyright terms coming to an end as it allowed works to enter the public domain where they could be freely used by anyone for any purpose. The extension of copyright protection on existing works was hard to align with the purpose of copyright itself, which was to incentivize creators to share their work. Interestingly, the significant change in copyright law has had notable implications. And I'll take Disney here as an example, the renowned entertainment company, which built its early success by drawing inspiration from works in the public domain, like Snow White and Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, etc. Had the extended copyright term been in place during Disney's early years, it could have had a stifling effect on the birth of one of Disney's most iconic characters, Mickey Mouse. The implication here is that if the extended copyright term had been enforced at the time, the original ideas and stories that Disney drew from the public domain might have been protected by copyrights, which means this is going to make it more challenging for Disney at that time to create all the beloved characters and stories that we all agree with and still. Now, the work by Professor Lessig raises questions about the balance between copyright protection and accessibility of creative works. It also highlights how the extension of copyright terms can potentially limit the availability of material in the public domain, hindering future creativity and innovation, of course. Lessig endeavors continue when he represented Eric Eldred, a web publisher who dedicated his career to making works available as they entered the public domain. So when something is available, you just put it there and anyone can use it. Together, They challenged the constitutionality of the Sony Bono Act that I mentioned earlier, leading the case known as Eldred v. Ashcroft to the US Supreme Court. Now, unfortunately, Eldred lost. Nevertheless, the inspiring goal of making creative works freely available on the internet, coupled with growing community of bloggers who were remixing and sharing content at that time, led Lessig and others to conceive an idea. They established a non-profit organization called Creative Commons, and that was in 2002. And they also published a Creative Commons licenses. Now, these licenses offered a set of free public licenses that allowed creators to retain their copyrights while sharing their works on more flexible terms than the traditional all right reserved double quotations approach. Copyright is automatic, whether a creator desires it or not. Now, while some individuals prefer to reserve all their rights, many creators actually want to share their work more freely with the public. The concept behind Creative Commons open licenses was to provide an easy way for creators to share their works in line with copyright law. From its inception, Creative Commons aimed to be a global initiative intended for creators all around the world. The founders of Creative Commons recognized that restrictive copyright laws worldwide limited the utilization of our shared culture and collective knowledge, despite the digital technologies and the internet opening up new avenues for cultural participation and knowledge creation. Over time, the way people share and interact on the internet has evolved quite dramatically. Unfortunately, in many regions in the world, the restrictions on using creative works have increased. However, sharing and remixing have become the norm online. We do that every day. Whether it's your favorite video, like a mashup, or like a photo of your friend posted on social media, we still sometimes do that and kind of infringing copyright laws or wherever they occur and within social media networks, this is actually preventing further sharing outside these platforms. Now, this is where Creative Commons comes to bridge that gap. In domains like textbook publishing, academic research, and documentary filmmaking, restrictive copyright rules continue to hinder creation access and remixing. Creative Commons tools and licenses offer a solution for this problem. Today, Creative Commons licenses are utilized on nearly 2 billion words across 9 million websites worldwide. The grand experiment that began approximately two decades ago has been an immense success, even surpassing the expectations of the Creative Commons founders themselves. While other custom open copyright licenses have emerged in the past, Creative Commons licenses stand out as the recommended choice. They are actually up to date, they're free to use, and have gained broad adoption by governments, institutions, and individuals as the global standard for open copyright licenses. Now, my last comment here is that as I conclude with you this journey through the inception of Creative Commons, it becomes evident that the impact of modern digital technologies, particularly networked ones, extends beyond the creative works. This influence reaches into various domains, including higher education and textbook publishing. I would like to highlight this a little bit here. In the realm of higher education, the traditional copyright laws often pose challenges for educators and students. Restrictive copyright rules can limit access to educational materials, and of collaboration among educators and the later sharing of knowledge within academic communities. Additionally, of course, the high cost of textbooks and the limitations on their use, which can create barriers to learning and restrict a student's ability to fully engage with the course materials. This is where Creative Commons step in as a transformative force. Until next time, thank you for joining me on this episode of Dare to Share. Be sure to tune in next time as we explore other topics in open education.